Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Appearing on the Dialpad guest line, Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. We have Adam Kaplan, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. You see him on, you hear him on Fox Sports Radio, Sirius XM. And Adam, it's a pleasure to have you on again, man. Great to roll you out as one of our insiders this year. Good to have you on the team. How are you?
Damon, thank you very much. And how about Darren Smith and I being reunited? How about that?
You knew it wouldn't last long. Now, Adam was a regular with us over the last couple of years in San Diego, all across Southern California. So we would do this on a weekly basis. We get all the football knowledge, and then we also would ask Adam about his diet. He would not go.
I knew that was coming.
If he were coming to town, you would not take him to the House of Prime Rib. You know why? Vegan.
What?
Yeah.
Kaplan's gone full vegan on us?
Damon, yeah. So, I've been a vegetarian for years, but I'm mostly vegan. I don't eat any meat. And so Darren and Marty, his producer, they were here for the Army-Navy game, correct?
Yep.
Was it last fall?
Yep.
And we went out. I took them downtown, but I made sure they could get what they wanted, and I was able to make sure that I got what I wanted. So, it all worked out. And, so somehow this is – Darren and I got to know each other, so we're pretty comfortable with what we were going to talk about. So every once in a while, he's like, "Hey, what's for dinner? What are you having for Thanksgiving meal?"
Thanksgiving.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, like
I
tell us about
that.
Vegan Thanksgiving.
Right.
The fact
the fact that you can even have a vegan existence in Philadelphia is amazing.
Tofurky,
absolutely.
I don't eat that now. When I go out, like, let me give you an example. So I'll be at Niners camp and Raiders camp 2 weeks. I'll be out there for the first week of August. And I know where I stay. I'll be in Cupertino. I could get an Impossible Burger. Not that I can't get it out here. You can get that everywhere. But I know the routine. I got the same routine. I stay at the same hotel when I visit the Niners. And I know I'm going to eat well. See, I love going out there because you always eat well out west.
And Damon might take you to the House of Prime Rib. Who knows?
The svelte, ripped, and vegan Adam Kaplan here on 95.7 The Game.
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome, Adam. So you're going to be out here. You're going to both camps. You're going to start with the Niners. So let's start there. And forget about the labor, show me the baby moment is here for this franchise. It's got to be successful. What, in your mind, defines a successful year for the 49ers in 2019?
Jimmy Garoppolo plays 15 or 16 games, and the team has a minimum of a 500 record at 8-8. If they can do that and make a big jump and he's healthy, because with Kyle Shanahan, I mean, you have to trust his ability to call plays. I know talking to defensive coordinators, they've told me for years how good he is, and he's a great play caller. If Jimmy plays 15 or 16 games with the talent level that they have on offense and with Kyle's ability to call plays, they could have a top 10 or top 12 offense. Now, defensively, they were bad last season because it was a personnel issue. Now they've added Nick Bosa, Dee Ford. We'll see when Quan Alexander's ready. I know there's some questions around the league when he'll be available. And then they feel better about their secondary because they're bringing most guys back. They'll get more experience. So that front four is going to be way better from a talent level standpoint. This team's going to make a jump if everybody's healthy. Now, if they're below 500 and Jimmy Garoppolo plays 15 or 16 games, they've got a real problem.
Exactly.
Nope. Yeah.
That's what we've been saying. But as far as if we're going to go into the hypothetical here and we're going to say there's 16 games, we can predict that for Garoppolo, you think they're good enough at least to threaten for a postseason spot?
Absolutely, for a wild card. The Rams are a better football team. They're better personnel. But to think that with that, the jump that they're going to make on defense from a personnel standpoint, and with their starting quarterback back, I don't see any way that they're not an 8-8, Darren, to answer your question and discuss it further. And don't forget about, we should mention Tevin Coleman in there now, who Kyle coached in Atlanta, where it looks like Tevin Coleman under Kyle for one season or two seasons had a chance to be a star. Jerick McKinnon coming back from his injury. George Kittle had a breakout season. They're feeling better about their offensive line. And don't forget, and you'll for the folks who get to go to training camp, and you'll see this in the preseason, you're going to see Deebo Samuel. You're going to see Jalen Hurd, who's really an interesting football player. Dante Pettis, who could be a breakout candidate. Now, you know, they were relying on Marquise Goodwin last year and the year before that. Now he's just sort of a, okay, you know what, you bring him as a change-up deep threat. You don't have to worry about that. And Trent Taylor's healthy as their slot guy. This offense could be so much fun, again, if Jimmy Garoppolo plays a lot of games this season.
You had to walk into a Vegas casino and bet on who leads the Niners in receptions. Is it a wide receiver, a tight end, or is it out of the backfield?
Great question. I would say that it's going to be Kittle, but the difference between Kittle last year and this year is he's going to have a lot of competition for the football. Pettis now will be a full-time starter. They add Debo Samuel. They add Hurd. Trent Taylor was hurt last season's back, and I know that they need him on the field as a slot receiver. And you mentioned Coleman and Jerick McKinnon coming back from his ACL. Let's not forget, Jerick McKinnon was a guy, and I remember sitting in Kyle Shanahan's office and talking about this. He had such big plans for him as an all-purpose back, but now he gets Coleman involved, who was with him in Atlanta. Like, if you're a defense, how are you going to defend all these guys? And this is something we never talked about the first two seasons because they just didn't have enough talent. Now Kyle, who has personnel control, along with John Lynch, helping him with personnel, they've really done a good job of building this roster in a much better way this offseason. And the expectations, we should mention this, should be way higher. There are no more excuses. This team should really take a big jump.
So, Adam, a little deja vu for you and me here in this conversation, and I've shared what I've known about the Bosa family over the last couple of days here in the Bay Area. It's about 7-8 days away from when it'll officially start impacting play on the field, but what are you hearing about the Niners and the Bosa camp trying to get a deal done?
Well, look, Nick Bosa, I'm not worried about it. I know his, you know, we know what happened with Joey with the Chargers and how that was a little bit different. I don't worry too much about it. Deadlines always seem to change things. I mean, the Robbie Gould contract, by the way, if you would have asked me last week, I was like, boy, it doesn't look good because they're just not close. And we know about Robbie wanting to be away, but the fact of the matter is whenever there's a deadline hanging over it. And by the way, we should also mention it's always when the veterans come in. I don't worry too much about the rookies. The competition starts when the veterans are coming in. And then, of course, they expect Nick to be a starter opposite Dee Ford. And don't forget, they acquired Dee Ford in a trade. They're expecting them to be bookends there. And if by chance he's not signed, I don't expect it to hang that much longer. But I would tell you this. His agent, Brian Arold, is a guy that fought for Joey. He will fight. He'll try to get certain things in his contract. He has Aaron Donald, by the way. So, and this is a CAA deal. They get tremendous deals, and there are certain things you could fight for, whether it's offset language or payouts in the first, second, or third year. There's certain things you can do in a contract, and that's what happens sometimes with these first-round picks. There's not much you could fight for, by the way, since the 11 CBA, but there are certain things you can do, especially with top 10 picks.
I saw that Derek Carr today tweeted that HBO's Hard Knocks started filming in his house. Huh. Talking to players and coaches around the league, the level of intrusiveness of Hard Knocks is what?
What it is, so I actually talked to one of the Raider coaches. It's funny you brought this up. And I said to him, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts here? He's like, look, I've talked to guys who've done it. The first couple days, you're starting to think about it. But after a week goes by, it's like you don't even know that they're there. It's because you don't want to act differently. I think that's the thing. And obviously with John Gruden being involved in this, I mean, does it get any better than that? And Paul Gunther, D coordinator, he was actually with the Bengals when they had Hard Knocks. So this particular coach has experience with it. But talking to this coach recently about Hard Knocks, he said his real concern were the first couple days that he just tries to put it behind him. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think it's going to be great. I'll be there. And this will be, by the way, most likely their last year in Napa. Well, I've loved it out there. I've been there since 05. There's nothing like it. It's my favorite training camp by far. No offense to the other camps. I'll be in Seattle, which is on like an island. That's a lot of fun. I like going to the Niners in Santa Clara. But the Raiders camp, folks, in Napa, there's simply nothing like it.
Boy, there's a really good burger at that Marriott, but why tell you about it, right?
Darren, see, I used to eat meat. That Marriott, listen, that Marriott, it's right on, it's funny, I don't even have to look it up. It's on Solano Avenue because I know it by heart. This is unbelievable. I've been going out there since 05. It's never rained when I've been there. I mean, think about that.
Way to jinx it. Way to
go. Yeah, totally.
I'm telling you, it won't happen.
But by the way, I just want to follow up on the Hard Knocks stuff because last year it was the Cleveland Browns. And didn't some of the stuff that we saw with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. Didn't that manifest into some of the dysfunction that we then learned about the Cleveland Browns?
You're correct, and don't forget about Greg Williams and everything that happened there. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that it got out, and it didn't. That was the one issue that you're going to have, and John Gruden's got to be careful. Yes, he's personnel control, but there's certain things you're not going to want to get out. And remember, they film everything. Like that's the thing. So you got to be careful of how you handle things. And the best part about it's going to be, and this always is when they have strategy in terms of roster cut down late in August. That's going to be a lot of fun. And talking to the Raiders, they are so excited about the roster because they had quite an offseason of the Antonio Brown acquisition, signing Tyrell Williams, Josh Jacobs, Farrell, their first-round pick, who they're excited about, Abram, their other first-round pick. They just feel like now they can compete, where last year they walked into a roster that really just needed to be fortified, and they're feeling a lot better about it. So I look forward to being there for Hard Knocks. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Adam, let's wrap up with this because, you know, things change really fast in this league, probably faster than any other league, even though the NBA is doing all it can to catch up to how quickly things can change.
Yeah, yeah.
If we were at any point in time asking you about teams in the NFL with the brightest 3-year window starting today, everyone would have had the Kansas City Chiefs on that list. Things change dramatically and quickly. I don't even know if they're still on that list. Adam, if I ask you about what three franchises, as you look at them from an ownership, coaching, front office, and player personnel standpoint, cap space? This is a big loaded question, by the way. I'm throwing it on you unprepared. But
that's fine.
Who do you think are the three NFL franchises that you would bet your personal money on and invest in terms of winning over the next 3 years? Who's set up to really have a run?
It's a great question. First of all, it always starts at quarterback. I would say the three teams would be Kansas City. I know Tyreek Hill is a concern about how many games he's going to miss, and it's fully expected he's going to be suspended, whether it's 4, 6, or 8 games. But with Mahomes throwing 50 touchdowns and seeing that they have their franchise quarterback, when you have a franchise quarterback, you're more than halfway there. I would say the Chiefs. I love what the Colts are doing. I think they're a long-term bet. I love it. I love the way that Chris Ballard, the GM, has set it up. And I would probably say the Eagles, now they've got Carson Wentz done, they've really set themselves up for the future from a cap and cash perspective. They've invested the right way. They've drafted the right way. Howie Roseman, in his return in 2016 after being banished by Chip Kelly, really has turned his career around. He's done a really good job. I think those three teams, out of probably 8 or 10, if we had more time, I would list them over. I could do it next time, but I would say absolutely the Chiefs are still in really good shape, and Andy Reid is a tremendous coach. They're close, by the way. And getting Steve Spagnuolo, we should mention that, as a defensive coordinator, that'll really help. I think it's an upgrade. And then the Colts, because of Andrew Luck, and they've invested wisely in their defense. And I think Philly, with the quarterback and both sides of the football, by the way, they might have the NFL's best roster. They are really, really good, and they've set themselves up very well for the future.
He is a 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. We're going to be talking to him all year, and we'll be better, smarter football fans for it. Adam, thank you very much. When you're out here for training camp, if we do get to see you, I don't know, maybe we can get together and chew some bubble gum together or something.
I knew you were going to come out with something like that. But, guys, I appreciate it, and we will talk soon.
See you, Adam.
Reuniting the two of you was delicious, too.
Of course.
Fantastic.
Isn't that what this week is all about?
Love to see it. Yeah. I really do. Thanks so much to Adam Kaplan. Bruce Bochy, talk about a little reuniting. I know you're good friends with Boch. He's joining us at 3:30 live on the Damon Bruce Show here on 95.7 The Game. Right now, Elena. Oh, I love the glasses you're wearing. Look at Elena's wearing the heart glass. Look at that.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Salvador Perez, the 2-2, popped up, Sandoval, in foul territory, Giants win! A World Series win for the San Francisco Giants for the third time in the last 5 years, and their hero, Madison Bumgarner.
The hero might be making his final appearance at Oracle Park tonight. We got Bruce Bochy joining Darren Smith and I in a matter of moments here on 95.7 The Game. That call courtesy of Fox, obviously, Joe Buck on the final out of Game 7 of the 2014 World Series. Pablo Sandoval laying just straight up on his back in foul territory. All of a sudden, Madison Bumgarner is being given the keys to a technology, technology and stuff. That's the year I believe technology and stuff was born from the Chevy Tahoe that he won.
I'm just surprised because you went Oracle. I thought you were going to go all AT&T today.
I thought
that's what you said right out of the gate in the pre-show meeting. You're like, yep, I'm doing nothing but AT&T Park today.
You also asked, Damon, are you a journalist? And what'd I tell you?
I said, no.
I'm a tiny J journalist. I try to be accurate and cite my sources, and that's pretty much where the journalistic integrity comes to an end. Got a guy here on the text line saying, Damon, would you please ask Bruce Bochy about the time he's commented on pole vaulting over mouse turds? I remember him saying something like that, but I can't remember the context in which he said that. He's like, just for the fact that I want to hear him say mouse turds again. I want him to hit Sanchi. Bruce Bochy coming up here in just about 10 minutes on 95.7 A Game, a conversation we're looking forward to. We just had Adam Kaplan on. We're going to be talking all NFL season with him. I think we're both expecting the 49ers and the Raiders to be improved teams. When I asked him for teams that got a three-year window set up to be really, really, you know, these are teams you want to consider, shouldn't the Raiders be on that list given what they're about to walk into? Like, they traded Khalil Mack to set themselves up for this window, but they weren't included on his list. Didn't include the 49ers on the list either. So they seem to be a little bit of a cause celeb in terms of preseason pick darlings, but he went with the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, and one more team that he had. Was it the Browns?
Was it? Yeah, I think set up for the next 3 years with all the talent that they have and all the talent that they've acquired. Well, I guess
it was the Colts. It was the Colts.
The Colts, yeah. They've did say the Colts with Luck.
If
Luck
is staying healthy. Incredible amount of cap room coming up.
Yeah, I think the thing is Vegas doesn't necessarily see it that way, at least not in the immediate future for 2019, since as we talked about yesterday, the win total number is at 6. Now, remember, everybody, that's not a prediction. That's just something to get you to wager one way or the other. And I'm going to guess that most wagers coming in are going to go over. The real tricky one for me is on the Niners, which is at 8. That's the one where even Adam just said himself, if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy. And he's been a bit more muted than some of the other insiders that you've had on all week long. Everybody else is predicting 10 wins, potential playoff spot. Could win the division, I heard this morning on Joe Lowe and Dibs. Adam said a more pragmatic approach would be 16 games. He's healthy for all 16 of them. Could get you to 8.
Little less bullish on the upcoming situation. We were talking with Richard Justice yesterday, and of course we got around to Madison Bumgarner with him, who, again, tonight might be making his last start. So, I'm going to the game tonight. Darren's coming with us. This is a night I hope ends up in a big, big hug for Madison Bumgarner. And where it goes from here, I really do not know. It's set up to be a win-win situation if he pitches well. If he shoves against the Mets, hey, really good. That means he's pitching well and could help redefine your season or might help redefine a rebuild if that's a direction the season ends up going. Talking about bullish on a market, Richard Justice says, and you know, John Morosi, who we've talked to, others, they weren't all sold on what the heaping return would be for Bumgarner. Richard Justice got excited about it, though.
Okay, the team I know the best, the Houston Astros. You're saying we're taking your outfielder, Kyle Tucker, and if we'd like me to throw in Will Smith in there, I'm taking Forrest Whitley, your top pitching prospect. And that's too high. That's too high a price. You don't have to give it to us. Because the Yankees are going to be lurking all over the place. Who else? Probably, I don't think the Dodgers are in it. The Braves will be in it. You've got 20 teams today that the numbers say they're in it. We know that they're not all in it, but the Brewers have a deep farm system. They're willing to do something like that. I don't think the Red Sox have the farm system to do it. He is in a great position.
You know, it really is amazing that the Giants are, you know, now in shouting distance, just 2.5 back in the wild card race. Outside of the Miami Marlins, what team in the National League isn't in the wild card race? I mean, can we be totally honest? It's exciting to see the Giants get to some, feels like significant baseball this year. And it's good to see the team performing well for Boch, who we all want to see go out with something less than an embarrassing final baseball thought for his managerial career. And we'll talk to him about all this coming up in about 5 minutes. Here, who, you know, the, the Giants are 2.5 games back with the Diamondbacks, Cardinals, and Phillies all in front of them. Then you got the Brewers sitting in the wild card tie right now with the Phillies behind the Nationals. Guess what? 2.5 back, there's the Giants. 3.5 back, there's the Rockies. 3.5 back, there's the Padres. The Pittsburgh Pirates could be sitting around today doing sports talk radio. What is it, KDKA over there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're talking about how, hey, that's why the Pittsburgh Pirates are in the wild card. There's no team in the National League but the Marlins not in the wild card race. So as exciting as it is, it's also a group of many that you stand in.
Well, let me just give you my two cents on this, because I've given this a little bit of thought, Damon, so be prepared here. I've put a little bit of thinking into this.
Bracing.
Because obviously, if my radio station hadn't have gone under, I would be on the radio in San Diego, and I would be talking about the Padres, who have virtually the same record. We woke up today, it was identical in the loss column. I would not get on the radio in San Diego and tell you that I truly thought that the Padres had a chance because they were 2.5 back, or they were where they were in the standings. I wouldn't have said that, because when I look at that roster, I don't see, now I see Machado and I see Hosmer, who's been there, but none of these guys have done it in a really, really long time in a Padre uniform. None of these guys have done it at all, as a matter of fact. The last time they were there was when the guy who's joining us in 5 minutes was managing it. So I wouldn't have said that, because I don't look and say what you will about where they are in the season. I don't see Bumgarner. I don't see Posey. I don't see Crawford. I don't see Belt. And I know that these are not the players that they have been over the last couple of years, the last time this team was in the postseason in 2016. I understand all that. But for me, just as somebody who's here for a couple of days, I wouldn't say that based on the standings, but I would give it a different look just based on who's there and who's done what. I understand. It's you understand better than I do. Since 2016, it's been fourth place, fifth place. It's been 200-plus losses over 2.5 years. Get all of it. Understand it. But I can't help but look at what the construct of the team is and say, yeah, it's still 99% for me, but if it can come down just a couple of percentage points with another couple of wins or another series win over the next couple of days, maybe you look at it a little bit differently than I would if I were somewhere else talking about some other team in the exact same position, just because of who's there and who's a part of that. I do believe in that heart of the champion stuff. I really, really do. As hokey as it is and as underperforming as they may have been, I do believe in that.
It means it. How about this? It has to mean something. What that something is, I do not know. I can't measure it. But the choice between experience or inexperience, no one would choose inexperience.
Right.
No one.
You know, and again, I wouldn't mislead. I wouldn't completely close the door. And I understand why you take the approach. Come on. The last couple of weeks, it's been nice, but this is about the entire season up until this point. But a different team, similar record, almost an identical record, where they are in the standings, I wouldn't sell that. I really, really wouldn't. Certainly not until they got to 500, which is something that we've discussed on this show. But when you look around and you go, what if Posey's getting a proper amount of rest that's helping him? And what if he's back offensively? And what if a couple of these other guys can kick it into a gear where it was close to where it was a couple of seasons back?
Brian Kenny is going to join Darren and I at 4:20 today for a little bit more of an analytical approach to this whole situation. Bruce Bochy joining us in a matter of moments here. I tell you, one of the best things about Bruce Bochy managing the Giants is that he has managed the Giants through the dawn of really, you know, sports dominating social media. And when you think of all the faux pas, so many teams, so many managers make, just, you know, just talking about it, Bruce Bochy, in a world where we're looking to mine the backhanded compliment, when we're looking for the slight, when we're searching, almost rooting for a manager to make a wrong comment that we could turn around and use to, well, is this divisive to a locker room, a clubhouse, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember a bad day for Boch. I can't remember a bad night where he was out of pocket, where he was, you know, clearly in the wrong, and he was an angry guy who was taking out his wrath and shaking his fist at a media that he was tired of getting the same question for him. Like,
I've seen a couple of them. I've seen a couple of them over the years, but you're right. He's the best. I'd be hard-pressed to think I'm going to cover a guy better than this.
Not a guy who loses his temper off, and he's among the most even-keeled guys to ever run a clubhouse. I remember there was a frustrating stretch of baseball, and like the question was essentially like, Bruce, do you ever want to come into the clubhouse and flip over the buffet table? And Boach was, you know, classic Boach fashion, was just like, nah, we got to eat tomorrow night too. And it was just so perfect and on brand for him. And
deadpan baseball personality, right?
Yeah,
there.
I don't even know if you would remember that because it was something he just dismissed. Like, you know, hey, if you were Lou Piniella, you'd be flipping over locker rooms and throwing hats around the clubhouse. And he's like, yeah, that's not how we do it over here.
Oh, I heard about a television that paid the price for a losing streak once, though. A flat screen, high definition television, when those things were not what everybody had.
Right. You couldn't go pick up one for $2.99 at Costco.
Pretty much. I heard about a television that definitely paid the price inside of a clubhouse with Boach and a baseball bat. So that's down there. But when you do that sort of stuff, Damon, when you do it, and Boach has played for managers who used to tell the clubhouse attendant, hey, go set up the table with all the water on it because after this game, I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to flip it over.
And I want the dramatic splash.
And the players see right through that stuff. So he's played for some of those guys, and he's been around some of those guys. When he has those moments, they really, really matter. And I think that's what separates that from the opposite, which is, well, we're going to set up all these props. We're going to tell the clubhouse guy to go in there because I'm going to throw a temper tantrum at the end just to let him know how really angry I am. When he gets ticked, it really matters.
There was a time and a place for that in sports, and that time and place has officially ended. I mean, the whole I'm going to manage through an element of physical intimidation. Mm-hmm. No, that's not getting anybody a job anymore in 2019 in baseball where really – you know, you got your general manager telling you more about tonight's lineup than maybe your rough baseball instincts are allowed to tell you about tonight's lineup.
Sure. And you know, that is all data driven and there's a place. And I think that it's part of the game. It's not like it's not going anywhere. But sometimes you need to know that your second baseman or your position player, I won't isolate a single position, but you need to know that the players in your lineup, your hitter maybe had a bad night, or you know, maybe he had a sick kid who was awake all night. And you know, these are real life things that we don't often think about when it comes to players, but when it comes to how you're going to construct a lineup that you play a sport in every single day, these sort of things really, really matter.
Right. You know, people keep telling me that when you have kids, you lose sleep.
Yeah, good luck.
And I'm bracing for it. And everyone, you know, everyone probably works with a newborn parent who had a B-plus day at work instead of an A-minus or an A day. And, you know, we never extend that courtesy to professional athletes. That real life creeps up on them sometimes, too. And Boach has always, I think, managed his clubhouse through a prism of what I need for this baseball team and what you need for your real life and what you got to do to get mentally ready to play tonight. Focus is something that, you know, he's preached often, and he's gotten an awful lot of focus out of his team at times. You know, I wonder, his managerial style, is that just his own style, or is there a manager from his playing days that he emulates or says, all right, that's my starting point. Of course, I'm going to take it in my own direction, but here is the way I want to start. You know, this is the guy that I want to most be like, and then I'll develop my own style after that. I wonder who he patterns his managerial styles after.
I think all of those guys who were on the 84 Padres were probably impacted by Dick Williams. Hall of Famer Dick Williams, who fans across the Bay will remember, obviously, when he was in San Diego, because he got the Padres into the World Series for the first time. I know Tim Flannery has told me how much of an influence Dick Williams has been on him. I know Tony Gwynn has talked about that, not only as the player Tony Gwynn became, but also the manager for his alma mater at San Diego State.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I don't know that I can recall a conversation where Boach has ever talked about that directly with me, him being directly impacted from Dick Williams. But everybody who played for that guy, they'll at least tell you this. He'd be an interesting case study in 2019, especially with the proliferation of social media and how the cameras catch anything and everything that's being said. We just watched this clip with Aaron Boone. But they would tell you for sure, like that guy had a big impact on everybody who walked through that clubhouse in the early to mid-80s in San Diego.
as we wait to connect with Bruce Bochy, and I tell you what, Albie, we're getting in that range where if we can talk to him, I almost rather put it off to the next segment. Okay, and of course, as I say that, the phone's ringing, and that's probably Bruce Bochy, in which case, I'm going to four, Elena, you know what I mean? We'll just figure it out. I tell you what, you guys do the math back there and then give me an out time because I want to be able to talk to Bruce for as long as he's willing to say hello to us, which he is willing to do right now. He is a three-time World Series champion, manager of the year, Giants manager in what we hear is his final season. Bruce Bochy joins us here on the Damon Bruce Show, along with his old pal from San Diego days, Darren Smith. All of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I won't pretend that you're here from me, so this is Darren.
Well, Damon, I am. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to hear Darren's voice up here. We have a history going a few years back, but it's good to talk with you guys. What's going on?
It is good to talk with you, and let's go ahead and make the reunion. Let's reunite it right here.
Boach, how we doing? How we doing? I miss the – you knew that you couldn't be done with me just because we had our circumstances down in San Diego where, unfortunately, our station went under. You knew you hadn't heard the last of me, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that going under your station there, Darren, but now I'm glad to see you up here joining the good side. You know, it's a good thing. Trust me, and glad to have you up here and watching Giant baseball.
Well, I'll tell you this: a lot of your friends, when they find out through the powers of social media that you were coming on and that I had one more crack at you, at least, because who knows what the future holds? You know what everybody asked? Ask him what's next. Ask him what's next. Ask him if he's reconsidering what's going to happen at the end of the year. Is he really going to retire? So all your people in San Diego wanted me to ask you that question.
Yeah. Well, now, you know what? I'm good. I'm good with my decision. I made that call last September. I came to that conclusion in the spring. I announced it. No, I'm still good with it. I'm having just a blast. It's great to see us winning some games, playing good baseball. I mean, the vibe here has been outstanding. So, you know, the thing I want to do is go out on a high note and play winning baseball and just finish strong. And so that's our plan. And but as far as my future, no, I'm good with my call. I'm looking forward to, you know, having my own schedule. And I don't know what I'm going to do next year. In what capacity, but I'll be around. I'll be up here doing something, I think.
Damon and I were talking about this earlier. When's the last time you didn't go to spring training? When's the last time that you weren't in uniform or you weren't part of an organization for a baseball season?
Oh, it goes back to, I signed in 1975, and so that was after spring training. I went to rookie ball, so 1976 was my first spring training, so I guess I would say 1975 is the first time that I won't go in spring training with the uniform.
You know, you deserve a little break after 44 years in, Bruce. I mean, really, 44 years a row. Gosh, that's an awful lot. You know, your interests outside the game, I know there are many. What's the number? I mean, is it about being out on the water and fishing, traveling? Might you turn into a sculptor, Bruce Bochy, book of poetry coming our way?
Yeah, right. You know what? There's a lot of things I'd like to do. There's no, I don't have a priority as far as one thing. If I said anything, it'd just be, you know what, some good family time. My family, I haven't seen a lot of my two brothers, my sister, they're on the East Coast, catch up probably a little bit more there, too. I love the water. I love traveling. I'll go out and hit a golf ball. I'll do some fishing. But baseball's still my love. And so I'll be doing that more than anything, I think. I don't know where. I don't know what capacity. But it will be baseball will probably still be my number one passion or priority as far as what I will be doing.
Bruce Bochy, Giants manager here on 95.7 The Game. So 8 of 9, 12 of 14, offense clicking maybe for the first time all year over a couple weeks stretch in a sample size that looks pretty good. Bruce, you know what a good team is, and I have to ask you, What is this Giants team that you're looking at right now? Are you a good team that just had a bad start, or maybe a team that is just overachieving right now?
Well, I said this during that rough start. I said, I know we're better than this. I know this offense is better than what we've been doing, the starting pitching. I knew it was better than what it was doing. So, you know, sometimes it takes a while, especially when you're making changes, you know, to get a team to gel together, just come together as a club. And that's happened here. Now, you know, it's hard to put up these kind of numbers every day. But, you know, when we don't, we have found a way to win those games, like that 2-1 game in Colorado. So I guess to answer your question, I just love the vibe, the mood, the tempo, the spirit of the club right now. A lot of confidence, and that comes with winning, no getting around it. I think it's rejuvenated the veterans, and of course the young guys have done well. And so the fact that you know, we have kind of played our way back into this wild card thing, sure, it's done a lot for the whole club. And so we're better than what we were the first half. Now, to stay on this pace, sure, that's going to be hard, but it should be a much better pace than what happened the first half.
Well, I want to follow up on the younger players, because everybody, Boach, always talks about having younger players and younger player enthusiasm inside of a clubhouse, and that's all well and good, but if they can't play, then nobody really cares. But it seems like these guys have shown, maybe to you and maybe to the veteran players, speaking specifically about guys like Yastrzemski and Dickerson, who I saw play a little bit in San Diego, maybe Pillar, some of the catches that he made that we just watched over the previous years. How about the young players proving that maybe there's a spot for them here, and it looks like they're getting a little bit better over the course of the season?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, and sometimes you bring up a young player, and you know, he's not quite ready. And sure, you're going to have growing pains. But what I'm proud of is how our young guys are taking advantage of, you know, this opportunity. Yastrzemski, you just mentioned. I mean, he's spent some years in the minor leagues, and he's come up there and he's done a great job on both sides of the ball. Dickerson, I know he came up with San Diego. You saw him there, but he's always hit. I mean, he went to Poway High. I remember this kid. He's a couple of years behind my son, but I kept hearing what a good hitter he was. Goes to Indiana, and so, you know, kind of followed him a little bit, but you know, he just had trouble staying on the field, and so that's our job, to keep him on the field and keep him healthy, because he's done some really good things for us. And I think sometimes it can be a player or two that you insert in the lineup. Now, over our history, you can look at a Burrow or a Scudero or a Morris. You know, sometimes it can be one guy that does something to ignite the offense and get it clicking. And you know, the job that he's done, and I'll add Slater to that since he's come back up with those big hits, and Yastrzemski, and they have helped, I think, change a little bit of our mindset. Now we're driving the ball more now.
Bruce Bochy here on 95.7 The Game. Is this the most turnover you've ever had in a clubhouse in one season? Farhan doesn't wait very long on making decisions or changing one guy out for another. I'm guessing it's a little bit easier to manage on the road sometimes, because at least you got nameplates on the back of those jerseys.
Yeah. You know, in fairness, it probably has been a lot of changes, but you know, and I think there had to be a lot of changes. We were trying to get this, you know, this lineup set. I think all of us, Farhan, myself, we've said we'd love to have, you know, our guys and go with them, the same guys. And ideally, that's what you want. But we had some needs come out of spring training. A lot of concerns, you know. Nobody was stepping up in that outfield. We needed some offense as we were starting the season, and so, you know, we're trying to get that right. And then on the pitching side, especially in the starting rotation, you know, we're making some changes there. And of course, you know, as the season goes, you got needs. You know, we've had needs in the bullpen. For example, we brought up Suarez yesterday or 2 days ago. because we're in Colorado. We don't want to burn up the other guys. And once you use him, you can't use them for a while, just like Rodriguez. Then you need to bring up somebody else to help. So, you know, it's done some good things as far as keeping guys fresh. And but also, you know, we're finding some nice players. You keep turning over the roster, and hopefully you're turning it over to improve your roster and make it and give yourself more depth and make it a stronger roster by making these changes. And sometimes that takes a little time. And so I think it's worked, and I like where we're at right now.
Would you like Farhan to be a buyer here at the deadline?
Yeah, well, you know what? Those aren't my decisions. But, yeah, as you know, I'm in this thing to win. I like where we're at. And, you know, these guys have really played their tails off to make some noise here at this point in the season. And so, you know, hey, as a manager, I think any manager is going to say, yeah, if there's any way we can improve our club. But I'll tell you this, he's already done that, and he's going to do all he can to help us or make the right decision for the organization. So, you know, my job is to make this work.
And, Bruce, you've been making it work great over the last few weeks. There's no doubt about that. Like you said, business of the organization can sometimes pull us away from what our hearts would like to see done. And I've been saying about, you know, when we talk about what the future holds, what should be done at the deadline, look, Madison Bumgarner, we all know the business of baseball, says that tonight could be one of the final times he ever pitches at Oracle Park. Obviously, you know, the success that you've enjoyed has been completely intertwined with Madison Bumgarner, who shows us, you know, how much of a competitor he is on the mound, off the mound, what he says, the way he behaves. He is an old school guy, and I'm just going to say that I hope he shoves tonight, because I would love to see you walk out there in seventh, eighth inning, take the ball from him, and have him just get an awful lot of love walking off that mound.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, and you know, and I have no reason to think anything's going to happen. I'm not thinking about that, and I don't think, and you know, I can't say for sure, you know, where Bum's head is at. Well, I can say this: I know where it's at as far as his team. He's as excited as the rest of those guys about how we're playing and where we're at, and the fact that. You know, we have climbed back into this thing. So his focus is going to be doing all he can to go out there and beat a good club that has a really good pitcher going tonight, by the way, center guard. So we got our hands full, but that's where his focus is going to be. And you know, this man I love, I've talked about him. You know, what he's done here for me, for the organization, for everybody, helping us win championships. You know, those are things that I'll reflect back later on. But, you know, he's done so much for us. So I still enjoy watching him pitch. I'm going to enjoy this matchup tonight.
But, you know, these guys, though, and you said, and you've said before that Bumgarner's a guy who hears it all, sees it all, baseball rat. He's not oblivious. You know, it's easy to say, hey, I just tune out that noise. But you're around him every single day. How is he handling the questions that come? Because he answers them. He answers them really, really well about his own future here. How has he handled all of this? Because in 2019, Boach, it's really hard for players to totally isolate themselves from the outside noise.
Well, it is. And you know why? There's nobody better. I really believe there's no one better at, you know, being able to put aside any distractions that can have that maniacal focus you need when you go out there and perform. And he knows what's at stake, as far as, you know, his performance the rest of the year, as far as, you know, getting a future contract or staying here or what could happen here even before the deadline. He understands all that, and he hears it, and you're right, and he will answer those questions. But, you know, as far as handling it, there's no one better, because right now, like I said, all he's thinking about is going out there and trying to win a game for this team.
Can you become comfortable with the phrase future Hall of Famer? Because that's what you are, Bruce.
No, I can't. I don't think about it, but I mean, I appreciate that comment. But, no, not something I'm comfortable with, and I you know, it's, I mean, sure, you're honored to hear things like that. But it's, yeah, you look at the Hall of Fame. I mean, I got Willie Mays in here every day in the club. Look, you know, that's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, and McCovey, before he passed, he was here almost every day. So those are the guys that I think about.
You're a humble guy, no doubt about it, Bruce. And that is a part of your managerial style. I mean, you've been about as even-keeled a character I've seen walk through a major league clubhouse and run it to the point where they've won championships over and over again. Is there anyone who you played for whose managerial style you said, I want to be like that guy? Is there anyone else you patterned yourself after?
Well, I think, you know, you get something from all your managers, but I've said this so many times, my first manager, I really respected and, actually revered was Bill Burton. I just loved his style. You know, he gave the players their space, but if he had a problem with them, he brought them in the office. He didn't hold back. I mean, he was honest with them, and he didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. But you know what? He treated you the way you wanted to be treated. He didn't go through the media, rip you or anything. But he demanded, you know, you played the game right, played hard, and you messed up. He called you out on it. And but he let the, you know, the players play. He let them hold each other accountable, you know, the keeping things right in that clubhouse. And so probably a lot from him. But Dick Williams, too. You know, Dick was such a, I think, a great baseball mind and, you know, was a stickler on fundamentals. And so it's probably helped me just most, as far as, you know, being demanding on doing little things right. And sometimes we don't get it right all the time, but we try to fix it as soon as we can.
Got a guy in my text line here, Bruce, who says, I love listening to Bochy and I'm a Dodgers fan. This is great. Well, he won't like this at all, because I got to tell you, all the nights that I spent doing post game from the bunker or back at across the street station when I was doing Giants post game, I don't think I ever took more calls or ever felt a city fall more in love during a regular season game with a manager than the night you got Don Mattingly on that double mound visit at Dodgers Stadium. That is still one of the greatest things I think I've ever seen a manager catch another manager doing. Do you still watch all mound visits like a hawk?
No, you know, actually you can do it now. So they
Oh, wait. Oh, geez, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, Boats,
yeah,
that's...
no, that changed. You know, you, but if you cross the line now, but if you come off the dirt, you're okay now. So, anyway, I know even, and you know what, even some baseball guys, you know, thought maybe it was nitpicking, whatever. But you know, but getting back to, you know, what you get from other managers, Dick Williams, he was such a, you know, a stickler on the rules, knew the rules so well, and. And that's probably something I got from him.
Well, wait a minute. That's not the only time you did it, though, because this is what I was talking about last night at dinner with Damon. You got Grady Little with that same technicality, didn't you, in Petco Park when he went back and forth twice with Brad Penny on the mound?
Right. We actually, we had some fun that night. Well, Grady, you know, was a bullpen coach of mine, but, you know, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but we can't do it anymore because it comes from the league. But the radar readings with Brad Penny, I knew every time he threw a pitch, he looked up there at the radar gun and see how hard it was. So I told my radar people to put it, you know, instead of 96, put 87, 88. And so Penny kept looking up there. He knows now. We've talked about it, but he was getting frustrated. So that added to his frustration. He snapped, and of course, what happened there with Grady. So, but again, they change that role, so that one's over.
So you got it twice. Were those the only two times, and both Dodger managers?
Yeah.
I love it. Boach, last thing for me, like I read a story recently just about Mike Socia, you know, who wants to get back into the game, and you're walking out at retiring at an interesting time. But he wants to get back, and you know, the thought is, you know, has the game passed him by of the general managers, the new way of thinking in baseball? You know, is there a place? I mean, if you wanted to get back, what would you think about your chances just based on where the game is? You've done an amazing job of evolving with the game itself, which you get a ton of credit for. But do you feel like there's a place for guys like yourself and the Socias of the world?
Well, I mean, we're all different. I can't speak for Soch, but I know for myself, you know, we we're using everything every team's using here. I mean, there's nobody further advanced, I think, on the analytics than us. Right next to me, we have guys working, but it's about collaboration and really having some free time to spend time with these guys to learn and accept and become better together and just like they can learn from you. You got to learn from them. And so it's all, again, you're collaborating. And sure. So I think, to answer your question, yeah, I think there's a spot for older guys. But they got to be, open-minded and want to use all the information they can use and be willing to do that and have some give.
Bruce, we want to thank you for joining us today. Really, really appreciate it. I had Charlie Sheen on last week. This is going to sound weird, but I had Charlie Sheen on last week, and I asked him when he was kind of losing his mind and going crazy, and, when he was taking over the world with his winning and Tiger blood, if he was doing a Brian Wilson impression, and he basically admitted that, yes, he was. Is Brian Wilson the single most crazy guy you've ever managed?
Well, you know what? That's a good question, because we were just talking about it today. He's got to be right up there. But, Romo's not far behind.
Romo.
We had some pretty good misfits there. But, Morse, Burrow, these guys all had, a couple loose screws there, too, at times. But, smart guys, but you know what I mean. Very loose free-spirited guys that just had a lot of fun. But I think I'd have to put Wilson number one.
More than Giles.
Yeah, Giles is up there. I mean, that's a good one, too. he's right up there. But Kim and Eddie, I've had pretty good ones.
Bruce, thank you so much. Thanks, Coach. It was a pleasure talking to you. Good luck tonight. Good luck to Madison tonight.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Good talking with you.
Bruce Bochy here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.